In John chapter 15, Brother Abrams read verses 9 through 11. I want to just read them again for emphasis' sake as we begin our lesson of encouragement this morning. The Bible says, "And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11, he says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The joy of living faithful in Christ. The joy of living faithful in Christ. When we look at these passages that we just shared this morning, there can be no doubt that the Lord wants us to live a joyful life. But that truly joyful life can only come by keeping the Lord's will, or doing the Lord's will, by keeping his commandments, by obeying him in our lives. And he says again that I've said this to you, I've spoken these things to you, that my joy, he wants his joy to be in us, and he wants our joy to be full. He wants us again to live a joyful life. But that joyful life, again, can only come by being in Christ and obeying the will of Christ. The best thing that one could ever do is to be in Christ and to live a faithful life. Unfortunately, there are some who feel that they can't really find, or can't really have the joy that comes from living for God. Well, those who feel like that have been deceived by the devil in thinking that living for Christ diminishes one's pleasure, it diminishes one's joy. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus again says, "I've said these things to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Again, there is much joy in living for Christ. It is the best life that one could ever, ever live. According to the scripture, and hopefully we believe the scripture, living a faithful life which brings joy has eternal rewards that you'll never regret. To be at home with the Lord, free from all of the heartaches and the cares and the burdens of this life, I don't believe nobody would regret being free from sorrow, being free from sickness, being free from cares and tribulations that they experience in this life. And so I'm sure then that all of us, hopefully, look forward to the day that we can be free from all of these things. But while we are waiting for that day, we can still be rejoicing that that day is coming when never again we'll be burdened by the cares of this life. That gives me joy, and I hope that gives you joy in obeying the Lord,
knowing again that
joy can be a part of our lives when we live faithfully. To ensure then that this will be a part of our lives, again, we must live that faithful life in Christ. Not out of Christ, but in Christ. If this doesn't bring you joy, I don't know what will. The joy of living faithful in Christ. I think we ought to spend just a little time before I get farther into my lesson in talking about what does it really mean to be in Christ. Since we're talking about living faithful in Christ, what does it really mean to be in Christ? Well, number one, it means that one has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. One has been added to the body of Christ. One, at one time, used to be the servants of sin. But Paul said it like this in Romans 6, in verse number 17. He says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. He says, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What was the form of doctrine? One obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, obeying the gospel, being buried in a watery grave of baptism, rising from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. And verse number 4 and 5 talks about that. When one obeys that form of doctrine, as Jesus was buried into the heart of the earth, as he rose again the third day, and he rose again to die no more. One is buried into the water of grave of baptism. He rises to walk in newness of life. And as long as he continues to walk in that newness of life, living faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he will never die again spiritually. Or he'll die physically, but he'll never die again spiritually as he continues to walk in Jesus Christ faithfully. So it means then that one has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, put him on in the watery grave of baptism, and he has been baptized into the body, the one body, by the means or by the act of baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse number 13, the Bible says, for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. So one then has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. One has been baptized into the body of Christ. And you know that body is the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 22 and 23, the Bible says, and he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, to the church, which is his body. The church is the body of Christ. So when one has been baptized into the body, he's been baptized into the church. And when one has been baptized into the church and baptized into the body, he has been baptized into Christ. And I would say this morning, that's the only way that one can get into Christ so that he can live faithfully in Christ, is to be baptized into him. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, for you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What does it mean then to be in Christ? It means that one has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means that one has been baptized into the body of the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And notice that scripture says, into one body. And so I emphasize again that there is just one church. One, if one truly is in Christ, he is in the one church, the one that you can read about in the New Testament. You're baptized into Christ. And as a result of being in Christ, as a result of being in the church, then one also have access to all spiritual blessings in Christ.
In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, to be in Christ, to be in the body, and to have access to all spiritual blessings. And one of the spiritual blessings that we're talking about this morning as we talk about joy is joy. That's a spiritual blessing. Joy. You know why it's a spiritual blessing? Because it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it names several things. And one of the things it names is joy. Joy. What did the Spirit do for us? The Spirit gave us the Word. Jesus was talking on a personal basis with his disciples in John chapter 15. And he says, I've spoken these things to you that you might have joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. But the Spirit that the Lord sent in Jesus' name guided the apostles into all truth. And they have now written down for us what everything that the Lord wants us to do. And so now, as a result of that, we can read what the Bible says about the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love. That's one of the fruit. But another one that we're talking about this morning is joy. So we understand then that joy is one of the things that the Lord wants us to have. He has made that known to us through his word. So if we truly are going to be joyful people, we need to be in Christ. Thank God for being in Christ. It's a wonderful blessing to be in Christ, because that's where true joy is. And so I say to anyone this morning, if you're not in Christ, if you're not in, have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have not been baptized into the one body that you can read about in the scriptures, I want to encourage you this morning to consider seriously becoming a member of the body of Christ so that you can have access to all of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Then you and everybody else that's in Christ can live a joyful and a faithful life in Christ Jesus. There is much joy in living a faithful life in Christ. We're talking about the access that we have to God's spiritual blessings. And part of that fruit, as we've talked about, of the Spirit, is joy. What are some things, then, that should bring joy to our lives as we live in Christ Jesus? Well, number one, we ought to be so happy and so joyful and so thankful that as a result of being in Christ Jesus, our sins have been washed away. That ought to bring joy to our hearts, that our sins have been washed away. And the only way for our sins to be washed away again is to be in Christ. Because when Christ shed his blood on the cross, it was his blood that he shed for the cleansing of our sins. Or when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, he says this. He says, in whom, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, we all know, hopefully we all know, what sin does for us. Sin separates us from God. And nobody wants to be separated from God, hopefully. Because, again, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And if we're separated from God, we're separated from the spiritual blessings. So then, we don't want to be separated from God. And God had a remedy for that. In the Garden of Eden, man became separated from God. But God already had a plan in motion before the world began whereby he could bridge that gulf. And that was through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And so as a result of Christ's blood, then, our sins have been cleansed, again, when we obeyed the gospel
when we were baptized for the remission of our sins. And as we continue to live a faithful life, I didn't say a life without sin, because nobody can do that. But we can live a faithful life. John said it like this in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6 and 7. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, he says, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's living faithful. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, he says, the blood, we have rather fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. It keeps on cleansing us from our sins. Thank God this morning that Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sins. So as a result then of being in Christ, we can be joyful as we live a faithful life, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Because the wages of sin, the Bible says, is what? Is death. Nobody wants that wage, or those wages. We don't want to be paid the wages of death, spiritual death. We want eternal life, don't we? With our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only way to get that is to have our sins washed away. And our sins are only washed away when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and we are in Christ, in his body. And as we continue to live faithful, his blood continues to cleanse us from our sins. We're delivered then from the shackles of sin. You know, Paul talked about something in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to do that, Paul says. Paul comes in the next verse, verse 25. He says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus delivers us from the shackles, from the bondage and the guilt of sin. And because we have been delivered from the shackles and the bondage of sin, we can now live a joyful life. It's something that we ought to praise God for and thank God for each and every day of our lives. I'm talking about the joy of living faithful in Christ Jesus. Our sins have been not just pardoned. I like the way Isaiah says it. Not just pardoned, but abundantly pardoned. You know what he says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 7? He said, let the wicked forsake his way and an unrighteous man his thoughts. And he says, and let him return unto the Lord. He's talking about repentance. Change your way of living. Change your mind and return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And he says unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. The Lord will just pour forgiveness all over us. That's what that word abundantly means, lavishly. He'll just pour it all over us. Thank God for his rich mercy and his rich love as he promised us. And the psalmist said it like this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That ought to make us a joyful people, that our sins have been moved or removed from us. No wonder when Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And you know, when we have the presence of the Lord spiritually, when our sins are washed away, and when we are walking in the light and he is in the light, we enjoy God's presence in our lives from a spiritual standpoint. Oh yes, it's a refreshing thing to have God's presence with us. So there's every reason for the child of God to live a joyful life, knowing that his or her sins have been washed away, have been forgiven. And since our sins then, those who are in Christ, who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, members of the body of Christ, since our sins then have been washed away we are no longer, the second reason why we ought to have so much joy in our lives, we are no longer condemned. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Then no, we are no longer condemned.
What does that simply mean? That we no longer have the sentence of death upon us. We are no longer looking forward to eternal death, separation from our God.
I just said, as we said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. Now, before we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were on, Brother James, I believe some time ago when I wasn't here, preached a lesson on death row. Living on death row. It's a terrible thing to live on death row. If you're not in Christ, you're living on death row. And of course, if you have rejected Christ, even though you may be in Christ, and living contrary to the will of Christ, you're looking down the hallway to death, eternal death. That's why we need to change our ways if we're living that way. So if we're in Christ and walking according to the commandments, doing the will of Christ, we are no longer a condemned person. We don't have the sentence of death awaiting us. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1.
Look at what he says. He says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are where? In Christ Jesus. But then he qualifies it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's why we ought to be so glad again this morning. That as long as I'm living a faithful life, as long as I'm not living after the flesh, I'm no longer condemned. I don't have the death sentence upon me, spiritual death. And it keeps me rejoicing. It ought to keep us rejoicing to know that we're not facing the death sentence, the spiritual death sentence, eternal separation from our God. So he says there again, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God that we have been made free from the law of sin and death. And we ought to be a joyful people as we live faithful in Christ. Just imagine being on death row, having the sentence of death stare in your face. Just imagine that. I'm sure nobody that's on death row, that's in their right mind, are not really looking forward to when the time that they would go in and they pull the switch. If they're in their right mind, they're not really looking forward to it. So how then can we look forward to it? Well, if we just contrarily and continually disobey the Lord, it just seems like we're looking forward to that eternal death. But to know that we don't have the death sentence upon our head ought to again motivate us to keep living faithful, because that's the only way we can escape death, that eternal death at the end of this life, is to live faithfully in Jesus Christ, so that we will no longer be condemned and we can have the death sentence removed from our lives through our obedience to Jesus Christ. I said earlier that when we were not doing the will of God, when we had not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were all sentenced to death. We were on death row. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know what God's wrath is? It's to condemn us to eternal death. But he removes that wrath again when we obey Jesus Christ and we live as he has directed for us to live. So thank God then again that we don't have the sentence of death upon us. That brings joy to my life. What about you? It ought to make us a rejoicing people. Thank God for having no condemnation upon us as we live according to his will. And then there's another reason why we ought to just have so much joy as we live this Christian life faithfully. We can approach God confidently in prayer. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful blessing, to be able to approach God confidently in prayer. And you know what? We can approach him at any time, under any circumstances. And we don't have to have an appointment to approach God. You know, to go to talk to certain people, you got to have an appointment. And depending on who the person is, you may not ever get to talk to them. You may get to talk to somebody in the outer office, but you may not get to go into the inner office. But it's not that way with God. We can go into the inner office and talk to God. You know why? Because we are priests. In Old Testament times, only the high priest that was alive could go into the Holy of Holies. All the other folks, all they could do was come to the outer court. But the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But now, you know what? God has made all of us priests. And we can all approach God. And we can just not approach him, but we can approach him with confidence. You remember in Esther's day, when Mordecai got her to go to approach the king, unless the king handed his scepter out, nobody could approach the king. So if I went up there, if you went up there, and if he didn't hand his scepter out, we'd be killed. Because we weren't supposed to be there. If he approached the supper there, we could come on in and talk to him. God extends his scepter out to everybody who is his child, who lives faithfully in his sight. So we can go there with confidence, knowing that he will hear us and he'll answer our prayer. I don't know whether that brings you joy, but that brings me joy. To know that when I talk to God, if I'm doing his will, he'll answer my prayer. Now, as we say all the time when we talk about prayer, he may not answer the way I expected for him yet, but he's going to answer my prayer. He will answer any faithful child's prayer. Why can I say that so boldly? I can say it because the scripture says it. And when we can stand on the scripture, it ought to bring joy to our lives. Listen to what the scripture says. Concerning that in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 15. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? Heareth us. And the next verse says, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, again going back according to his will, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Now, why do we know we have that petition that we desired of him? We know it because of what the scripture says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. That's why he hears and answers his children's prayer, because those who are walking faithfully, he has promised in his word that whatever they ask according to his will, he's going to answer. He's going to give them an answer. Thank God for answering the faithful child's prayer. John 9, verse 21, the blind man said this. Verse number 31, he says, God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, what? Him he heareth. That sounds like what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, these things I've said to you, that your joy might be full, and my joy will remain in you. And he says, whatever you ask, according
according to my will. I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to answer it because you're doing my will. Thank God for answering faithful children of God of his prayer. And so faithful children of God can live joyfully in this life, knowing that God answers their prayers. Oh, we can approach him with confidence because he is our high priest. And we can go there at any time and find the help that we need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 says this, seeing then that we have not a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us keep on living faithful. There's another way of saying that. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's a joyful statement. I'm talking about living of the joy of living faithful in Christ. Another thing that ought to bring us joy, as I began to conclude, is that we have the benefit of God's providence, provision, and protection when we live a faithful life. I don't know about you, but that brings joy to myself. And it ought to bring joy to every person who is living in Christ according to his will. Why? Because he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be there for us, providing for us, protecting us. Yes, indeed, the Lord will provide for us. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another translation of that, Good News translation of that says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's everything I need. He can provide me with everything I need. And he will do that according to the spirit that inspired the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He says, my God shall supply all your needs in his riches through Christ Jesus. So if there's a need, God will provide for it when we're living faithfully. That's the key. When we're living faithfully. Didn't Jesus say that if I would paraphrase it here in Matthew chapter 6, don't be concerned, don't be so worried about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He said those are the things that the Gentiles, they don't even know me. Those are the things that they are concerned, that they are worried about. He says, if you seek me first, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these things, the things that you need, will be provided. So to know that I won't go through life suffering for anything that I need brings joy to my life. Because if I don't have it, I know you got it and you love me, and I'm going to give it to you. I'd rather you're going to give it to me. And if you don't have it, I know I love you, know I love you, and I'm going to give it to you. Not everything we want, but everything we need. You know, when Paul was teaching that great lesson on giving, sometimes folks don't give as they ought to give because they're afraid they're not going to have what they need. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you read it closely, he said, if you give like you're supposed to give, I'll make sure that you won't lack anything you need. Our faith's got to come into play there. And to know that God will keep his word. Brother Montgomery talking about sometimes we want to handle things on our own. We need to let God handle his business. God says, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll make sure that you won't have to suffer for anything that you need. We got to put our faith in play. And that's living faithfully. And that brings joy then to my life. To know that God will be with me, to know that God will provide for me, to know that God is my protector, he's my refuge. That the psalmist says, God is our refuge. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalms 46 and verse number 1. God is everything that we need.
Lastly this morning, this ought to sure enough bring joy to our life. We have a crown of righteousness that's awaiting us. To know again, as I said earlier, that we don't have to walk through life condemned, facing the spiritual death chamber. To know that a crown of life is awaiting us, it ought to bring joy to our lives. Because Christ has promised it, and Christ cannot lie. In Revelation 2:10, he said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." When Paul was nearing the end of his life, he said this to his son in the Gospel of Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," he says, "there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Now, my question to all of us this morning, as well as myself, do we truly love the appearing of the Lord? Truly loving means that we're going to do what he tells us to do. If we truly love him, we're going to do his will. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Jesus says, "These commandments have I given unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus says, "I want you to live a joyful and a faithful life by doing my will. And you'll have great joy in your life." So to know then that a crown of righteousness or a crown of life is awaiting us, it ought to motivate us to live faithfully to our God. I want to say to us as I'm closing again this morning that no matter what the cost is, it's truly worth it. In other words, no matter what we go through in this life, it is truly worth it. The journey that we're traveling on our way to heaven, it's worth whatever we go through for the cause of Christ. Now, some things we go through, it ain't for the cause of Christ. You know, if I steal from you and get arrested and have to spend some time for that, that ain't for the cause of Christ. If somebody slapped me down for teaching the gospel, that's for the cause of Christ. And that's worth it. May not feel good at the time, but it's worth it. So whatever we go through in life for the cause of Christ, it's worth it. So my admonition and my encouragement to us all, let's stay the course. Because Romans 8 and 18 says this, "For I reckon that the suffering that we go through in this life is not or cannot be compared with the joy that shall be revealed in us." Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. And the glory. You know, when that glory is there, it makes the joy even better. One of these days, as we said in the Wednesday night Bible class, we're going to share in God's glory. Right now, we must give him the glory. But one of these days, when we stand before him and when he says, "Well done," we're going to share in his glory. Because our bodies are going to be made unto like unto his glorious body. Oh, yes, it's going to be a wonderful time to share in the glory of God. And so, let's live a joyful life. Let's live a life of confidence and a life of joy and a life that will be pleasing in the sight of God. If you are not then in Christ, and if you are not a child of God, a member of his church, I want to say to you this morning that you're missing out on a glorious opportunity. I want to encourage you to begin your journey today, not tomorrow, but today, so that you can live this joyful and this faithful life in Christ Jesus. As I close, I'm reminded of what Moses said to his brother-in-law, his father-in-law's son, as they were coming through the wilderness. In the book of Numbers, he says this, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. He says, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we'll join in, he says, until the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. So that's what I'm saying this morning. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you're not walking faithfully and living faithfully according to the will of God, I'm saying, come with us who are faithful, who are doing the best that we can to live according to the will of God. And we'll do you good. You continue to read in that chapter. His brother-in-law didn't really want to go with him. He said, no, I'm going back and stay among my kindred. Moses pled with him again. He says, if you stay with us, whatever good thing the Lord do for us, we're going to pass it on to you. So I'm saying again, come thou with us who are trying to live a faithful life. Whatever good thing the Lord do for us, we're going to do the same thing for you. We're going to bless you. And you can in turn bless us. That's what it's all about, church. You blessing me and my blessing you as we live faithfully in the sight of God. But again, come thou with us. We'll do you good because we'll join you. As Greg Fletcher always says, it's always good to be among fellow Christians who are trying to get to heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to live faithfully. So we're encouraging everybody and anybody to come and go with us because the Lord has spoken good things, Moses says, concerning Israel. The Lord has spoken good things concerning his church. His church is going to heaven whether I go or whether you go or not. So if we all go together in his church, living faithfully, when that church is delivered up to God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 24, we'll be right there delivering to God. We'll live eternally throughout the ceaseless ages. I don't know about you, but that brings me joy to know again that I'll be able to live eternally with God. Because as Dante said in that great epic story, Inferno, he says, abandon hope, all ye that enter here. Talking about hell. There's no hope in hell. So don't think that if I end up in hell somehow, I'll probably be able to get out someday. I'll serve my sinners. No, no. It's an eternal sentence. So come down with us. We'll do you good. Because the Lord has promised good things to those who live faithfully in his church. If you're here then this morning, you need to come. I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to obey from the heart, as Paul said to those Roman Christians, that form of doctrine that have been delivered unto you. Realize how Jesus loved you and how he died for you and how he was buried in the heart of the earth and how he was resurrected the third day morning. Believe in that. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the good news, because if it had not been for that, we'd still be in our sins today and have no hope of ever being delivered from our sins. So believe in Jesus then as the Son of God. Let that belief move you to turn away from everything that you know that's wrong in your life. That's called repentance. Because if you don't, Jesus said you're going to perish, Luke 13. Let that belief also move and motivate you to make the greatest confession that could be made on mortal tongue, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 teaches us about the importance of confession. And then lastly, let it move you to be baptized, buried in water, not sprinkled, not poured, but buried in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to the church. Then you can begin to live in that life filled with joy, faithfully in Christ Jesus. Why not come this morning then? Let the Lord add you to the church. You're already a member of the church, but somehow you've been walking contrary to the will of God. I want to encourage you to turn away from it. And if you need to confess before us all, I want to encourage you to do that. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, that would help and encourage you to live a faithful life so that it can be one that's filled with joy. Whatever we can do, We want you to let it be made known. Would you come right now while we stand?
Yeah.